one single verse. Which is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to read, though, verses 4 to 7, just to have a little bit of context. But I want to address mainly verse 6. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, with a focus on verse 6. This is the Word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your risibleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So far, God's Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask Him that He help us to understand this teaching of verse 6 about a prayer of supplication with thankfulness. Let's pray to the Lord. Lord, we ask that you help us to understand what anxiety really is and how we respond, what we should do in our anxiety. We pray, O Lord, that Scripture will speak to us. And we know that this can only be done through the Holy Spirit. So we ask that the Holy Spirit, O Lord, minister to our hearts your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you could say today is Thanksgiving. I thought the message would be about Thanksgiving or thankfulness. But the message seems to be about anxiety, right? It's medicine for anxiety. Well, it's because anxiety and thankfulness, they are connected. They have everything. They're spiritually connected. In this text that we read, they are very connected. A story is told about a man that was very anxious, and he was... He lived in a small home. They were nine. And he comes to his rabbi way in the country and says, Rabbi, I don't know what to do. I have been working, doing everything, but life doesn't seem to get better. And we live at nine in that small home. I don't know what to do. I'm completely dissatisfied. I'm anxious. I don't know what to do. And the rabbi says, well, you do this. I know that you raise goats. Bring one of your goats into your home this week. And he's like, how is that going to? Trust me. Bring the goat into your home. And you will see next week. You come talk to me. A week passed, the man came back and says, Rabbi, I don't know what idea you have, but it didn't work. Our life is miserable. It's worse. Now we have an animal besides nine. It smells in the house. There are feces in the house. It's much worse. He said, well, do this. Now send a goat out. And in a week, come back. So a week passes, the man comes back and says, how was your life this week? He says, wonderful. Oh, it was so much better without the goat. The rabbi said, there you go. The lesson was wisely taught with a hint of comedy to that man that we should be content with what we have, what God has given to us. And this is one of the main themes of this chapter 4 of Philippians. There is a very famous verse here. I mean, two of them in chapter 4, which is 11, or part of verse 11, which is, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. So Paul, that was in prison, is telling the Philippians, I've learned to be content in whatever situation. And then verse 13, right? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul is talking about his own situation, that he's content in every situation, in having abundance, or even when the situation is difficult. He learned to live in every situation content. Contentment is indeed one of the signs. It's a mark of the true Christian, true piety. It's contentment. It's to be content. But you say, yes, Pastor, I am content with what I have. But I was happy with my life. I was happy how things were doing. But when cancer came, then everything was different. I was happy with my life. I was content with my life. I liked what I have. I liked my house. I liked my family. I liked everything. I liked where I live. I liked my church. I liked my work. But then I got fired. And things got bad. And I had this whole financial situation now. I am content with the things that I have. But I don't understand why God is doing these things in my life. I was content with what I had. But I don't understand all these problems. Well, this is exactly what Paul addresses in verse 6. He's giving us a quick teaching. What should we do when things got off the track? When things are not how we expected? So he will say, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 5, he will say, let your risibleness be known to everyone, which is be kind to everyone. Be kind to everyone. I'm probably not pronouncing this word correctly. Reasonableness? Reasonableness. I should read instead of try to guess. It's always a good thing. Reasonableness. Okay. I think I can say it. Yeah, if I try it slow. Which is to be gentle. Be gentle to all. So these are short instructions that Paul is giving. He's at the end of the letter. He has said pretty much the most important things that he wanted to say. He's at the very end doing those, giving short instructions. So it's about rejoicing, being joyful at every time, and being kind every time. And then he says, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. So basically verse 6 has two teachings. First, do not be anxious, and then what you should do instead. Basically these two things. Well, he says, do not be anxious. And it seems a bit harsh or a bit too legalistic or too... I can never be anxious. All anxiety is wrong. Is it anxiety a sin? Well, we need to look at Jesus' teaching about anxiety on Matthew chapter 6. You remember what Jesus says? He will say, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, about what you will eat and about what you will drink or about your body or what you will put on, your clothes. And then he gives several examples here, and he says, then later, I'm reading Matthew chapter 6, and he will say, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So he's saying, well, it's the Gentiles who get anxious and make their lives to go after food, to go after material things. But you should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So what Jesus is saying is indeed not all kinds of anxiety, but a certain kind of anxiety. And we can devise anxiety here from concern, let's say. It is natural for us, finite, limited people, to have concerns in life. We are concerned about things. As parents, we're concerned about our kids. We should be concerned about paying our bills on time and be concerned about doing things right. We should be concerned about our country. It's natural. We can be concerned about things, but we should not be anxious. Anxiety is that feeling of being disquieted, of being discontent, that takes our peace away. You can be concerned, but still have peace. But when you are concerned and you cannot rest, you have no peace, you are anxious. Anxiety has always to do with something that is open, that is going to happen, with uncertainty that lead our heart away from God. So how to devise that? That is very abstract. I cannot give you objective points and say, hey, to this point is concern and this point is anxiety. But you as a Christian, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will have to measure that in your heart and be watching for anxiety. And I truly believe that this anxiety that Jesus is talking here is sinful. Jesus says that the Gentiles have that anxiety. It's unbelievers, people that are not trusting the Lord. Because it's a lack of trust in the Lord. So yes, anxiety is indeed something sinful that we should work on. It was George Miller, the great missionary in England, the one that created orphanages, that opened orphanages, and then all by faith. He spent 4 or 5 hours a day praying. He never begged for anything. He never asked for anything. Things would come to his door, and he would feed. And at the end of his life, he had an orphanage with over 10,000 kids living in it. He says, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of the true faith is the end of anxiety. So truly what Paul is talking here about is not a concern, is not a sadness for how the world is, but is that anxiety, that concern, extreme concern that takes peace. So he would say, do not be anxious. How do you answer to anxiety? So how do you say, Pastor, but I'm anxious. I must admit, I'm anxious. Then Paul will say here, in a text, which is how you deal with anxiety. Second part of verse 6, he will say, do not be anxious, but, verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What you should do? You should kneel down. And you should pray to God. Talk to God about your need, about your requests. How a Christian deals with anxiety, he goes to the Lord in prayer. The more anxiety you have, the more time you have to be in your knees, subjecting your heart to God. The thing is, when we are anxious, I know very well because I've gone through that, we cannot stop sometimes. We don't have the time to stop. If we stop, we kneel down by something, we get a little, it's difficult. But that's the spiritual battle that we have to have. You need to try to calm your heart and bring your heart back to God, because your heart is racing away. It's racing away from the cross. It's racing away from God. So Paul says, instead of being anxious or in your anxiety, you kneel down and you pray. And he uses here two expressions, which is prayer and supplication, which is like an intensive thing. It's like, you really do it. Old interpreters thought that prayer was a request for good things and supplication was a petition for bad things not to happen. That's how old interpreters thought. But that's not how more modern contemporary interpreters think. They think that both words come together as an intensive thing of ask God. Ask God, ask God. Okay, you're anxious. Then don't tell others. Take your anxiety to the Lord and beg. The word supplication also can be translated as beg. Is go to the Lord. Grab His feet and say, the Lord, please. Do this to me. We have in the Gospels a few people that have done that. We have that woman that needed her daughter to be healed. And Jesus says, oh, it's not fair to take bread from. And she's like, I just want a few crumbs. I just want some crumbs. There's the blind man who says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they quiet. And he continues to beg, and he is louder. He doesn't let his anxiety or others take care, but he goes to Jesus. Brother and sister, go to Jesus. Spend time in prayer. Pray more and pray over and over until the Lord gives you answer to that. That's what Scripture tells us. But notice, and here's the thanksgiving part, that Paul will say, and this is the last thing I have to say tonight. He says, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And here's really the secret of this. Because if you just beg and cry and shout to God, you might be taken by more despair, thinking that the Lord is not listening. It seems that the Lord is not answering. How do you counterbalance that? You ask and you thank God. You ask loud, boldly. You grab Jesus' feet. You cry out loud like Bartimaeus. You really say, I just want a few crumbs like that Gentile woman. You beg the Lord. But you also thank Him. We should never ask something from the Lord that we shouldn't also thank Him for something else. Paul says, beg the Lord because He's a good God. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread, to deliver us from temptations. Jesus taught us to ask God. He said that we should ask with faith. And He says, if you ask with faith, it will be given. Yes. But brothers and sisters, we should ask. But we should not have our hearts taken by our need. We should let a part of our hearts to thank God for what He has done. This is a common teaching in Paul's letter. Colossians, Paul will say, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, urge you that supplications and prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for for all people, 1 Timothy 3:1. Also 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. A Christian should be one that has gratitude in his heart. Christians should express gratitude always, always. This is a special season for gratitude. But it shouldn't be the only time for gratitude. You remember the 10 lepers that Jesus healed in Luke 17? He healed 10 lepers. But you remember how many came back to thank Jesus? Just one of them. And then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" He was a Samaritan. And the Samaritan said to him, and he said to him, I'm sorry, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." That man got healing of his body and got forgiveness of his sins and salvation. The other 9 just got the healing of their bodies. So gratitude is an important part. And look then what verse 7 says, which is not going to go into, but as a result of that, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." So if when you're anxious and we have need, deep need, serious need, you pray and you beg and you shout and you come to the Lord and you supplicate, but you also, after supplicating, you thank Him, you will be like the holy man of God that wrote some of the Psalms. Some of the Psalms, they start, "Oh Lord, they are destroying me. My enemies are at the gate. They're slandering me. Look at this and that." But you will see that this man of God will also be led at the end to, "But praise you, Lord, for your work in Israel. Praise your name from generation to generation." You will see that the Psalms have this kind of plot, which is the plot of the prayer of the man of God that is in trouble, that needs the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, what should we do in our anxiety? Supplicate, pray, beg, insist with the Lord. But also, as you insist, also thank. Thank the Lord. Start thinking of what God has done, all the good things that you have. Okay, you don't have this, and you have this big problem. But look at here, how many other things God has given you. And start thanking God for all the other things. This is the measure of Scripture. This is the medicine of Scripture for our heart when we're anxious, when we're in need, is to beg, to supplicate, but also to thank, to express gratitude to the Lord for all the things that He has done. Let's conclude our worship with one more song, which is a song of thanksgiving as well. Appropriate. "Let all things now living, a song of thanksgiving, to God the Creator triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protect us and stayed us, who guides us and leads us to the end of our days." It's 125 in our hymnal if you want to follow in the book. Let's stand and sing to the Lord.
Let all things now living, a song of thanksgiving, to God the Creator, triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and saved us, and guides us and leads the end of our days. His banners are o'er us, His light goes before us, a pillar of fire.
Grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and fellowship of the Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. May God grant you all a blessed Thanksgiving.